This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in prime time this week, for now anyway,
It's about time. These 1 o'clock Sunday games are killing me.
I'm so bored by 1 o'clock Sunday kickoffs. Man, let's go back 10 years and see what we sound like about that.
Like a bunch of...
Can I just have a Thursday
we
night?
Like, we sound like a bunch of babies.
Can I just have a Thursday night game against Jacksonville once, please? Right. Can the Bills just qualify for that? But now it's like, oh, I got to stay up. So Tuesday morning, we're going to be dragging. It's easier when they win. This is, I was about to say, at least for now, though, the Bills' last game of the season that is not on a Sunday. There's no more Monday night unless flexing, you know, to Saturday or whatever. Sal always knows a lot about that. But Sal, at least the regular schedule here, no more Thursdays, no more Mondays. Still some night action down the road, but it'll get a little bit more casual here, to put it one way.
Yeah, for sure. We Matt Bovey and I just recorded an Always Game Day Buffalo podcast, and we talked about that this week, which is like, man, I remember... You know, we all do, right? Like when, wow, the Bills are going to be on prime time. It was such an event just to have a primetime game. And now we're kind of primetime fatigue in a lot of ways. You never want to complain about being good. That's the that's what happens when your team is good. But it becomes a grind. It becomes, you know, difficult for a lot of people, for fans, people like us who cover the team in a lot of different capacities. So I think that, you know, after this week, it's nice to know it's much more routine. Now there are 4 p.m. or 4:25 p.m. Eastern time games on Sundays. That gets thrown in there. But, yeah, only Sunday, nothing on Monday unless there's some sort of flex down the road.
And you might be ready to say, Bulldog, about the Jets' version of this, because they had night game week one, Thursday night week three.
On the road.
In week one, yes. Week five, they go to London. Then there's this game. Next week, Sunday night. On the road. Week 9, Thursday night. Two Thursday nights.
Right.
Week 11, Sunday night as well. And then calmness. Yeah.
The start especially, I think, you know, not that we are here to have any sympathy for the Jets, but I think they got worked at the first, like, 6-7 weeks of the season, like Mike just laid out.
Yeah, and I also want to point out the schedule in general for the Bills, the teams they play, right? Which is, like, we all recognized that the first six games were going to be pretty difficult. And look, if they, this is a big game for that swing of 3-3-4-2. I think we probably had a discussion at some point, on the show, that, hey, would you take 4-2 through the first six? Yeah, you know what? Sounds pretty good. I think you could go with 4-2, and you'd feel pretty good about yourselves looking ahead. And look, if they could get to 4-2, guys, I mean, the next four games are very winnable for the Buffalo Bills. In fact, so much so that I would expect them to win at least three, and if something, unless something goes wrong, I think they should win all four games. Like, you're in a position... If you win this week, I think you're looking at 8-2 as very doable.
I asked Bulldog the other day if he would take 6-4 from here, Sal, and he said no. You would say no?
I'd say no. I think you have a much better look at 7-3 at worst.
Okay. Well, the Jets, I mean, the Jets are the Bills are interesting. The Jets are the bigger story. The Jets maybe are the biggest story in the league right now with the coaching change and the play calling move. They have not cleared, well, sorry. They have cleared 266 total yards once this year. That's that New England game in week three. You know, say what you want. That was total domination. What are the Bills getting here? There's the emotional stuff where you could look at that either way, I guess. Do you see them as a team that's about to start rolling offensively, or is it more likely that that's just not going to happen?
Well, let's just hope that doesn't happen Monday night to start them rolling offensively. I do think there's a a pathway for that to happen. I do. I think there's a path for them to start playing better offensively. I don't know what rolling means for them, though. Like, what's that bar? What's that right. perspective, right? Because they've just been pretty bad on offense. And I just don't know if their offensive line is good enough for them to be rolling offensively. They do not have a quarterback who can kind of really mask that, because Aaron Rodgers, as much as actually he looked pretty mobile the first couple of weeks, he's been getting beat up. And he looks now more like the 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. He wants to get rid of the ball quickly, and I think that's contributing to some of the bad throws, the not seeing guys, the interceptions. He's getting beat up pretty badly back there. They cannot run the football. But here's what I expect on Monday night. They're making a change here to Todd Downing. Now, granted, he was in Tennessee when they had Derrick Henry, so it's a little bit different. But I think they're going to commit to running the ball on Monday night and try. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and pound it at the Bills. The Bills are the last ranked run defense in the league as far as yards allowed per play. They ran the ball well against the Bills last year. They have Breece Hall. They have Braden Allen. I think that they're going to do what they can to pound the ball at the Bills and then say, now you have to, if we can, and you're getting, you know, 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry here, now we can get in second and manageable. And now Aaron Rodgers, now you have to be ready for everything. And that's what kind of worries me now. I think overall, big picture, though, it's tough for me to see them sustaining having a really good offense, because I do think their offensive line has issues.
Yeah, and we've seen Rodgers not really be on the same page with the receivers a lot. I'm with you 100%, Sal. For all the talk about the passing game coordinator is taking over the play calling and the fired head coach and all the stuff, yeah, I feel like I'm bracing for 35 rush attempts between Breece Hall and Braylon Allen in this game. Because, unless, of course, you know, the game gets away from them or they just can't do it. But, you know, the Bills have gotten run on, so we'll see. I mean, something's got to give here, right? The Jets haven't been good at doing it. The Bills haven't been very good at stopping it. So I think they'd be nuts, considering especially Rodgers is nursing a regular, like they have to classify it, low ankle sprain, and is already, you know, can't really move that well to begin with the exception, I would say, of that New England game. That's the one game out of the five where I went, oh, God, what happened here? He looks like, you know, Aaron Rodgers from 2010.
I had under 2.5 rushing yards for Aaron Rodgers in that game. Like, at least I've got kneel downs to save me if somehow he runs for 4 yards and he ran for like 12 right away. Right. Like, that one I could have just gone to bed.
Right. So, yeah, I think the running the ball, like, and that's, you know, Sal at Oliver Sells in practice this week. I feel pretty pessimistic about him playing. So we'll see what kind of job the Bills can do if the Jets do try to, you know, smack them.
Yeah, it looks unlikely for Ed Oliver to play at this point from my perspective. We'll see tomorrow if he gets ruled out of the game. He hasn't practiced, of course. Today is only, you know, like a normal Thursday, so we have one more day for that. We'll see what Sean McDermott, you know, and he didn't rule anybody out. But Dwayne Carter, we've talked about him, did a nice job. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Can he back it up for another game like that? I'd love to have Ed Oliver for this reason. Everything we just talked about with Aaron Rodgers, which is his maybe lack of mobility and being banged up. If you can pressure him from the interior, where's he going, right? Is he going to try to get to the outside? Is he going to try and, you know, roll out to make some plays? That's not necessarily Dwayne Carter's game, but he had a couple of nice plays like that. We'll see if he can maintain that. I do believe, though, guys, that this game here is a game where the Buffalo Bills defensive line has to step up. I mean, they impacted the second half C.J. Stroud a little bit more. They really didn't impact him as much in the first half. There were a few times they got close. They just weren't able to get him. But Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epinesa, DeJuan Smoot, who had the nice play to cause the fumble. Like, I just think these guys should be able to beat the Jets' offensive line, and they need to do that. And that's not just getting to Aaron Rodgers. That's stopping the run as well, which obviously helps to have Terrell Bernard back, and it looks like Taron Johnson back.
How about Cook and Shakir? So what changes? We've had Shakir out for a game already, but Cook, I know I asked you this yesterday about him. What do you think they would do? This idea that the Jets will want to run it, I've said the same thing too, and they have just not been effective at all. You see, like, Breece Hall has 2 broken tackles this season through 5 weeks. Like, they're just gang tackling him at the line of scrimmage. He had 4 yards against Denver and 23 or something against Minnesota. So there's that side of the ball. The Bills, you know, this season started very successfully with Cook being a really important piece, and this will be their first game without him. He didn't play all the time as a rookie, but he has not missed a game to injury, I believe. So what kind of an adjustment would be needed?
Well, first of all, I just think that, you know, running the football in the NFL, we've talked about this over the years. Like, a lot of times you can just kind of plug somebody in, right? It's not as much of a drop-off as a lot of other places, you know, around the roster. It's just, you know, yeah, it's nice to have a dynamic running back and things you can do. I think what you do lose from James Cook is that flexibility for them to be aware of him coming out of the backfield, catching passes. But you have Ty Johnson, who's got nice hands. Ray Davis can catch the ball. It's not necessarily his game, but he can do something like that. But I think you could still be okay with, you know, going to a Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, you know, type of attack. You know, you hit the hole straight hard. These guys run hard. I think they can pick up the tough yards that you want. You can do things like that. I think Khalil Shakir is much bigger of a piece if you're missing him. If it's the choice between the two, yes, James Cook. I think on the surface, oh my God, they can't deal without James Cook. But what we saw last week, guys, just tells me, like, Khalil Shakir is such a big part of what they do. It just opens other things up. He is able to get open himself. He's able to kind of navigate those spots in the middle of the field. They haven't controlled the middle of the field. They really want to control the middle of the field. I think Khalil Shakir not playing just puts a lot more pressure on those wide receivers to get open on the outside. And as we've talked about, teams are just banking on the fact that they just cannot do that.
Yeah. Sal, it dawned on me earlier today that, of course, we know Shakir missed the Houston game. He was hurt early in the Baltimore game, and I know he still made a big play in it, but like they couldn't really do much through the air except for that long play and then a couple of back shoulders to Coleman. And Shakir was not, you know, 100% there. So I think that's a really big miss. It might sound crazy to have gotten there already, but I think he's a security blanket for Allen, and not having it is really tough.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, just the way that the chess pieces move around, right? If you're a defensive coordinator, your defense, Khalil Shakir in the middle of the field gets a little more attention. You know that he can kind of navigate his way there. You know, if you don't have him there, who are you putting there? And what does that put? It doesn't stress the defense as much, I think. So now you have kind of different ways that you can go about attacking the
ball. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills. You know, and for me, I think Dalton Kincaid has to be big there too. And if you don't have Shakir, you know, you still have Dalton Kincaid who can be a part of that. But when you put those two together, that, again, it helps you control the middle of the field. I think the Bills have really tried to do that. They've wanted to do that. It just for some reason hasn't come to fruition this year as much. Maybe, you know, you go back the first 3 weeks, we can look at the numbers. But especially the last 2 weeks, they've had nothing, you know, in the middle of the field. Now, part of that is Josh Allen is scrambling left or scrambling right. So he's, you know, trying to find something on the boundary as much as possible. They have to get back to being able to throw to the middle of the field effectively.
With Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog Football Friday. Well, let's take that a little bit further. generalizing, the idea here with Josh Allen on the Bills, still in his prime, presumably, was that they can withstand these losses at wide receiver, be they off-season departures or an injury. And they are 3-2. I believe they have the best point differential in the AFC through 5 weeks, so it's not all bad, but 9-for-30 last week. What can Allen do about this, Sal, that, you know, if he has to scramble and nobody's open because they can't separate, then you have problems. But to some extent, I wanted to think, and so did a lot of us, that it wouldn't break them if they couldn't get open, and, you know, even if the offensive line wasn't perfect. So what about Allen's sort of responsibility in this?
Let's first be clear. Josh Allen did not play a good game on Sunday. I want to start this by saying that. Like, I'm not defending his play in any way. He was 9-for-30, and he just did not play well. The timing was off. He was not very good. I do think, though, that a lot of the things that are happening are really outside of his control, and he's kind of put in a circumstance where he's trying to make a play. And maybe that's where it comes from, guys, which is, yes, he's trying too hard to make a play instead of just, hey, you see something coming, a hot read, right? Like, but look, Keon Coleman didn't help him out. A little hot read, there's a little slant, things like that. I think that's what Josh can do. I think it's incumbent upon the quarterback here to make sure everybody's on the same page, communication. Hey, if they're going to do this to us, I can throw it to you right off the line of scrimmage. I think about what the Texans did. Those two plays, one in the beginning of the game, one near the end of the game, which we thought was going to win it for the Texans. It didn't, where literally they had the running back leak out of the backfield and just replace the hot guy, right? Replace the blitzer. Like, things like that. These are things that Josh Allen needs to be on the same page with his running backs, with his wide receivers, these hot reads, instead of what we've seen the last 2 weeks is, okay, they're pressing, here comes the coverage, bam, I got to scramble, I got to run, I got to find something, I got to do something. I think earlier in the down, being able to recognize, get the ball out of the hands, find somebody, but that's incumbent upon everybody. And then I also think that he's got to use his legs a little bit more in those situations. You know, running to the sidelines and, you know, getting and running out of bounds in straight parallel versus, hey, you know what, if I could just take off upfield for 2-3 yards, live to fight another down, that might be a little bit better here. I thought there were a couple of times he could have done that last week. He didn't do that. It seems like everything for the last 2 weeks, especially last week, everything's just speeding up, guys. Everything's speeding up for everybody, and they're just not kind of, you know, taking control of making sure they get to where they need to get a little bit earlier after the ball is snapped.
Looking at some good news on the injury front this week, Taylor Rapp clearing concussion protocol. Would you expect he just goes straight in for Bishop, or might there be a mix there with the three, with Bishop, Hamlin, and Rapp?
I think he just goes straight in for Bishop. You know, listen, we all saw last week Cole Bishop had a couple of plays he would definitely want back. And certainly the one in the past game. He also had a couple of runs where he reminded me like Dorian Williams last year, just out of control, not breaking down, missing the tackle. Those things will come in time. He'll understand. The game just moves so much faster from the college level, the NFL level, and from preseason to the regular season. When you're in there in that situation, you just have to learn to kind of keep your body under control. I think Dorian Williams has done a nice job of that over the last couple of years. Cole Bishop will too. He also had another couple of nice plays of setting the edge. He did a really nice job. That's his game, coming downhill, making those tackles. But I think from what they saw from Cole Bishop, what they know they can get from Taylor Rapp, what he's done, to me it just seems like he's going to go in there, he's going to be the guy. And can we say at all that DeMar Hamlin's really hurt this team at all? I don't know if I can say that. I don't think he has. I think DeMar Hamlin's been fine. Now, he had one interception. He's not a guy that's going to be making plays on the football all the time. That's just not his game. But I think DeMar is exactly kind of what they want out of a safety in this particular scheme. He doesn't have the same athletic ability as Micah or Jordan or even Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop. But what he does is he knows the system and he understands how to keep things in front of him, and maybe one of these times he's going to get beat deep. But right now, I think they're comfortable having DeMar Hamlin right there.
Garrett Wilson, the Bills secondary's biggest challenge, I would think, maybe pretty easily. 23 targets last week.
Man.
This was not a double overtime playoff game. This was a London game that ended in regulation. 23 targets. Wilson made a great catch in last year's opener for a touchdown at the Meadowlands, which you'll remember, MetLife Stadium. So
was on Trey White.
Yeah.
Okay. What about him here? Like, it seems like we're hearing all the time and even seeing that he and Rodgers are missing connections, but that those 23 targets got him double-digit catches and 100 yards and a score last week.
Well, they just kept feeding him, and you know he's their number one guy. Alan Lazard is dropping a lot of passes. He has decent numbers, but he's dropping a lot of passes. It just doesn't seem like it's very consistent from him. And outside of those two guys, really, they don't have a lot there, right? I mean, that's really the
Big
guy
Mike
that they're trying to get the ball to.
Oh,
what's that?
Big Mike.
Mike Williams.
Big Mike doing nothing.
Yeah, Big Mike Williams. There you go. Listen, guys, I think, you know, of all the things that have kind of gone wrong for the Bills, I think a couple things, one thing you can really look at that's been going right is their corner play. I mean, Christian Benford has been outstanding this season. I think he's playing at an all-pro level. And Rasul Douglas has been really good. Can you pick apart a few plays where the guys, maybe one or two here that they've been beat? But, man, they're so different. We've talked about this, you know, that Douglas is such more an aggressive player where Benford is more of a conservative player, but it really works for both of their games. And I think it works for the defense because, you know, they're not traveling, and I don't expect them to do that here. They don't have to do that here. But you got one of each kind of guy here. They're both very, very high IQ football players. So, if you know, for all the things that kind of have gone a little bit wrong here, those are – Those are two guys that are playing at a really high level, and I think especially Benford, what he's doing. So I think the Bills are comfortable, you know, going against this group. Not saying, like, oh my God, they're going to go out there and shut them down easily, but I don't think they're afraid of anybody right now at wide receiver because they know that they have a couple of guys out there who are really doing a nice job.
I think I would like Douglas's chances of getting a pick here against Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like he's
former teammate.
Former teammate. I mean, they have a lot of time together, but still, I feel like that's a guy. He to the way Rodgers is playing right now, I feel like Douglas is just going to be ready to pounce in this game.
And he is from the area. He's from New Jersey. He is, where is he from? East Orange, maybe? I'm going to look that up. You guys can look it up if you have it there. Let me see. I think it's from East Orange. Let me look real quick. East Orange, New Jersey. I got it right.
Good job.
I'm not good at New Jersey.
He said this week.
I'm not good at New Jersey. I think Atlantic City is south. I can't do New Jersey.
Yeah. I'm not even sure where the Sopranos live.
It's such a small state. Everything's near each other, right? Everything's within walking distance in New Jersey, by the way.
Sort of. All right. That's a stretch.
But anyway, he's got, I think he said this week, 26 ticket requests already. Like, a lot of family and friends come in. So, yeah, you add in what you just said about former teammate and Aaron Rodgers, and then I'll add in, like, hometown. A lot of people come in Monday Night Football. You know he's going to be jacked up and want to make a play in this game.
Tom's River is down a ways. I don't know. I've never been good at Jersey. Sal, well, you're going there, so you're the one that needs to know Jersey. Thank you for your time today, and we'll talk Monday.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend.
Oh, wait. Will you go to the Sunday night game?
Yeah.
Mike brought this up the other day. Will you go see Bengals Giants, or you got, like, big fancy dinner plans somewhere?
Well, maybe not big fancy dinner plans. You know, this is a Bill Whippert, Sal Capaccio trip. We always hang out in Manhattan together, right?
Okay.
When we go out, you guys know he's my traveling buddy. We love to go to Manhattan. So where we stay, it's not far of a ride to go in the subway to go into Manhattan. We love walking around, going to Times Square, grabbing a slice of pizza. Sometimes we go to an Italian restaurant. We like to hang out. We do that. I will tell you guys, last year, the same thing happened. Remember, the Cowboys played the Giants Sunday night week one. The Bills played the Jets Monday night week one, right? I am not going to go into East Rutherford. I'm not going to go to that game. There's just no reason to. It's a little bit off the beaten path. I don't have necessarily big dinner plans, but we'll have plans.
All right, good
you
deal.
You did not go to the Dallas Giants game, which was unfortunate because it was 40-0. You missed a lot.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
missed a lot from Dallas. Yeah. 40-0 on Sunday Night Football last year.
And I will say, I will be keeping tabs, of course, on the Yankees game one of the ALDS, which is the same time as the Bills and Jets game.
Right.
Can you go to that? Well, not if you're going. Could you get away with it? Could you? Is there any way you could get away with it?
No,
AI sale on the sidelines.
I don't see him down there. I hear him. He's getting information. That could still be possible. Anyway, yeah, too bad they didn't line up differently.
All right, well, enjoy your trip, Sal. Safe travels, and I'd say go Yankees, but it would be insincere.
Hey, I totally get it. I understand. But you know what? Hopefully this weekend, my one hope is, you know, you go a lot more innings here. Game five for the, they use up a lot of bullpen, you know, for the Tigers. They go a lot of innings, and then, you know, the Yankees don't have to face as many guys.
Here's hoping.
Sounds good, Sal. Safe travels. All right. There's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Yeah, Monday in New York. Are the Mets playing Monday, too? I think they're
they will play on the road.
Right, but they're like four, like afternoon maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Yankees. You got the Jets. I think the Rangers are home Monday night, too. Yeah, I mean, I know it doesn't really hardly count.
You know, people say there's a shortage of things to do in New York City.
They do, huh?
You're sounding like maybe they're wrong, those people who say that. We've got time for your calls here, 803-0550. Your confidence level, Bills at Jets Monday night. Maybe a little strategy, what you'd like to see them do more of or do better. At 6, we'll have picks, but we've got time before that. Football Friday continues. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.